Channel One Nova, beginning the visit with Mr. Buck Weaver this Saturday around noon, the 4th of March, 72. Channel One Nova, beginning the visit with Mr. Buck Weaver this Saturday around noon, the 4th of March, 72. Channel One Nova, beginning the visit with Mr. Buck Weaver this Channel One Nova, the 1st of March, 4th of March, 72. The
old stove feels good.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I haven't had a fire all day up the store, though. I suppose I said I ain't enduring it. I feel for my arm. I used
fine.
That rocking chair and I was feeling for the arm
yeah.
on it.
That's just fine, will we?
Well, you don't need much fire.
No.
Day like this, just enough to take the cold chill off. All right, but when I come down this morning, of course I was stirring around, but shoot fire, it was right chilly. That's where the them big old sapsuckers come, Mr. Wheeler.
You drink orange juice?
Thank you.
All right. That'll help you out. Yes, sir. Well, I'm just in favor of getting out a little more. This woman down here at the end of the lane says she walks halfway up to the corner and then she walks a little more than half the next day.
Yeah, wife's got a three-wheel bicycle. She's been out riding it this morning. I haven't been on a thing in 3 months, I reckon. It's had a bad tire and I wouldn't take it out. They got the new tires and put on it. Friday, I believe, the first time she'd been on it. I called her Cadillac.
But I'll tell you, you can sit. You take a chair out in your boat.
I haven't been in the boat in so long, so I haven't had been a carried out in a chair, but I got one that I would. It sits down low, and I go hunting, I carry it with me.
Oh.
I get off 5 or 10 steps from the road, put it down, set in it. I said, right there, the boys come back. I know this year, I went to Billy one morning, and we didn't go to my old stand. Went to another place and he put me out. I stayed out there till he got ready to come home. We drove in by my old stand and there was a fella standing out there skinning a deer. I didn't miss it that much. If I'd have gone out and I'd have had a purse to set there, I'd have got the deer myself. It weighed about 100 pounds, I guess. Young deer.
That was your old stand?
Yeah, that's my old stand. I've been going there for 3 or 4 years.
Where was that, Mr. Weaver?
Back over here in the River 6 District.
Oh, yeah.
Around the Turner place.
Old Sam Turner place?
Yeah.
Yes. That old place is just...
Oh, it's gone now.
Gone
house
now.
Was moved, tore down. Well, people hauled off most of it anyway.
Yeah, and burn it up.
I bet you haven't got old telephone, old wall telephone, have you?
Right up there.
Why you take for it?
Oh, that's just a picture one.
Oh. It looks just like one from here.
It does.
I don't know where a fella would find one. You don't run across them?
I bought one the other day, but it was a too old a model. I still got it, but I'd sell it. I want one of these lights on the wall, you know.
Yeah. Well, how'd you run into that?
A fellow from South Carolina had it old, had an old Confederate sword. I bought the sword from him.
Yeah.
Sometime he up there, I'll show it to you.
Yeah.
It's about as old as that old pistol I got.
Yeah.
People come by there this morning, the fellow asked me if I still had it, and I told him, yeah, I still had it, but he said, I want my mother to see it. I showed it to him, then I showed him that sword. That sword is a Confederate Army sword. It's a bayonet rather than it is a sword, but use it for either one. It still lends its old original scabbard.
Yeah.
It's a mighty good drink. What is this?
Orange juice.
Mighty good oranges.
Well, I tell you, Mr. Weaver, I tell you why that's so good. That's some of these oranges that Jimmy Means picks down here.
Yeah. How many trees you got?
Some he picks.
Oh.
Down here, you know, at that place on top of the hill. He picks all them oranges.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see Jimmy that much anymore, do you?
No, I just see him. Well, I haven't seen him pass road out there in a long time. Wonder if he's working anywhere.
Ain't he working down there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he been working down there.
Maybe he has. I don't know.
I see that old truck.
He passes before I get up in the morning and after I go to bed at night, I reckon.
He don't pay attention to me anymore.
He used to come around pretty often, but since him and John Barr had that run-in, he hadn't been making open much.
Well, what did John get after him for?
I don't know. People maybe thinking about not picking up the garbage. Well, he wouldn't pick it up if it wasn't in a barrel or something. Well, these other people don't either. They will pick up the trash and like that if it's piled up in a pile.
Yeah.
But as far as cans and stuff, they don't do it unless it's in a barrel.
Yeah. Oh, there was complaints about him.
Well, it takes too much time. Had to pick him up off the ground.
Yeah.
Ain't taking barrel, just dump him over.
But they complained about old Jim Means.
No, not these people. It's a public town.
Yeah.
Some people in town want them to come pick him up out of the yard.
Oh.
Yes, sir. No, when I first came over, used to come over to Micanopy there, old Jim Means would come up there, pull up there at your place and over there at Buster's, and he'd sit back there, and right back there, and smoke that cigar, and just talk like he owned everything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it quit.
Well, he was doing well one time. Before his mother mortgaged that place to that man.
Yeah.
And then he come to why he took it away from Jim. He used to own that place where that big filling station is down there.
Yeah.
All that on the right-hand side of the road from on up to his house.
Yeah.
Yeah, he owned that when I first come to Florida.
Yeah. So when you first knew him, he was pretty well to do.
Yeah.
And now he don't work enough to pay income tax anymore, does he?
I don't guess don't. I guess not.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't bring anything down here with me, but I didn't walk. That's all I brought with me, something to ride in.
Is that right?
Yeah, I had a good farm back up there in North Alabama one time. And my wife had that trouble. We lost it all. I didn't try to save it.
Oh, you mean she got sick?
No, separated. Me and my first wife.
Oh. Oh, so she just took your property?
Well, no, she didn't. She didn't have nothing to pay for. She couldn't. They went back to the receiver.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. You still had owed money on it.
Why, see?
You still owed money on it.
I did. I don't no more.
Yeah.
I didn't know much, but I couldn't pay it. Wasn't no money to be made in those days.
Yeah.
When I come here, I started the first work I had done was for her long up there in the store at $5 a week.
Mr. Weaver.
I did $5 a week. And he never did pay that. All I got out of it is I'd go to the cash drawer and write my ticket for how much I'd take out. And that's all the money I got out of it for 6 months' work. And I went back up home and stayed up there a couple of months, and then I went on back out in Arkansas and Missouri, sit out there, and I got up one morning on the ground and throwed up about that far. I said to the fellas, I said, now if anybody wants to go to Florida, pack your suitcase, because I'm leaving today. I left there about 11 o'clock that night.
Yeah. Well, now, what all was you doing out in Arkansas?
Nothing. Picking cotton. Anything I could get to do.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to teach school, but somehow it never did come around. I come down here, I didn't even teach school. And I signed a blank contract and sent it back to the superintendent down in Marion County. And I went on to Anson and was teaching. At the end of the month, I got a check for $108. I'd been getting $3,600 a year where I was. Well, I couldn't go back up there. Wife, other people got my two little girls, and man, that hurt. I had to give up those young'uns.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, I guess so.
Last summer, sometime, her sister died had some kind of brain trouble, and now she's got it. She's in the hospital now. Something wrong with her brain.
Yeah.
So what you came down in here, you came in a car?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you had a car. That's all you had?
That's all I had.
Yeah. And wasn't much money changing hands?
Well, I didn't have a car the first time I come. I left it out in Missouri. Let it stay out there, and the fella didn't drain it. Head froze busted on it, and he sold it for $20. It wasn't worth much, but it was worth more than that.
Yeah.
Half the head busted on it, why, he showed him what he'd get out of it.
Yeah.
The next time I went back up in Alabama, and brother-in-law said to him, I said, come on, let's go on and look at a car a fella's got to sell. I said, okay. Well, I wasn't dreaming about buying it. I didn't have no use for it. Not any special. So a fella told him what he'd take for it. He decided not to take it, and I asked him, so I said, you're not going to trade for it? He said, no. I said, well, do you mind if I try it? Trade for it? I said, no, go ahead and get it if you want it. Well, I'd trade with him in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Man, that was a good used car.
Uh-huh.
Man, you could step on the running board and just as tight as a brand new one.
Yeah.
He hadn't used it in a long time. Battery was down on it, and all the tires were off of it. He had the tires, put the tires on, had them on pine poles, you know, run up between the hollow place on the wheels. And he's been sitting there for, I don't know how long, 6 or 8 months, a year.
Is that right?
And I bought it for my sister for what I was buying it for. She needed the car. And she decided she didn't want it. And that left me with it. Well, that was a good car. I brought it down here and traded it for a big truck, and the truck wasn't worth as much as the car was.
Yeah. You know, now what model is that, Mr.
Reeland? I don't remember now, but it's a pretty old model, I guess.
About what?
About 32 or 3.
Yeah. Well, now, they was making some pretty good cars.
Yeah, man. This is a little roadster.
Yeah.
Old roadster. Man, I drove it all over Arkansas and part of Missouri and down here. And down, I don't know how long I kept it after I come down here, 6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
I traded off. It was a good car.
Well, now, was you by yourself out there in Arkansas?
Yeah, friends, that's all.
Just people out there you knew.
Yeah.
Wasn't anybody traveling with you?
Well, there's one fella that come down here with me. Out there, he's from Tennessee. And he didn't have but $3.50 to leave out there on. Well, we got down right across the river there at Memphis. The gas already about 5 cents cheaper across the river on that side than it was on this side. Well, I knew that. But I filled up with gas. And before I left Missouri, I had what money I had, a bill folded. I folded it up and put it in my shirt pocket. I had on an army shirt and buttoned it up. I was afraid to sat butchered. If I went to sleep, well, they might steal it off of me. So I didn't think more about it. I got out of much pay for that gas. I didn't have any money. I think they didn't think I had change. And I was coming through Memphis and I was wondering if I was going to do it. Sometimes I had a little pistol with me, little Savage automatic. It was a good gun. And I said, well, I'll pawn it for enough to get gas to get to daddy's home. And then I can get the money. Well, I have. Coming right with a guy on a pigeon roost rope, I happened to run a hand bump that pocketbook. Man, I found that money. I could have kicked the top off that little old truck. But what a car.
Yeah.
Because that all the money I had, about $80.
Oh, man. But, oh, man. Well, how'd you get hold of $80?
I saved it a little bit of black pennies. I never have been at that for reason. I got what little I got up here. I saved a little money. I'm a little bit ahead now. But I can't tell my wife nothing about it. Man, she's all the time on a new rug for this, a new rug for that, and a new something else. And I did buy that bicycle, paid $75 for it. But it was a $240 machine. That bicycle cost $240. That three-wheel bicycle she got. I don't see what makes them cost so much more than a two-wheel, but they do.
I don't either.
And that's one of the best ones that's put out. It's Elgin or something like that. I know it's the best bicycle that's put out.
Right.
Highest price.
When was that, Mr.
And That four-wheeler car, three-wheeler car she's got. But that little bed on the back, it cost $400. Well, she's had a lot of fun out of it, and still is. The kids had a lot of fun. They left her bark. They didn't bark a while, they just go get it, and she had to stop them.
You mean she got that now?
Yeah, she got it now.
And rides it.
Yeah, she's been riding it this morning.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you ought to see her riding that thing.
I'd love to.
She wants to get some of that fat off of her.
Why, sure, that'll do it.
I guess it will if she does it enough.
A three-wheel bike with a trailer behind.
Well, it's a rarity, I know, and I don't know what those people are trying to get her to sell it. She won't put no price on it.
Oh, they come around and want to trade you for it.
Yeah. You do like I do, you feed the birds?
Yeah.
I don't feed that kind, though. I take my BB to them.
What's that?
That's old thrasher. Old thrasher bird.
Don't you like thrashers?
They're too mean. They'll scratch up the flowers, catch, eat up little bird eggs.
Thrashers?
Yes, they will.
Well, I thought they wouldn't harm a thing.
Thrasher and a jaybird, two birds that I shoot. I red bird and other birds, I don't bother them. I feed them.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, that little gun I got from you.
Air rifle?
Yeah. See, I kept it here.
Oh, yeah. I got another now.
I made me a little hole there in the window, at least pushed it up. And I'd get these old blackbirds, they'd swarm down there.
Yeah.
And for a long time it worked. But it got so I could kill two or three of them and they'd be laying up there and the rest of them would swarm right down there. They didn't pay a bit of attention to it. So I just quit putting feed out. But now, what to do, you take out there now, you see, they come at a certain time of day, those old blackbirds.
That's...
And if they start coming down there, I just take a gunny sack, a croaker sack out there, and sew it over it until they disappear. They stay up in the trees there, and you can hear them. They just...
Back, you need to come back and take a croaker sack over it.
That's right.
That's right. They stay up there the longest time. They just...
You know what these guns sell for now? $17.63, I believe it is.
Is that right?
It's worth more than it was when you bought it.
Yeah.
What'd you get, about $15?
Yeah. Yeah.
I keep mine loaded to shoot dogs with.
Oh, you do?
I do. I make a dog getting high.
When do you get them? Out of your window?
No, I open the door. I see the door open. No, I ain't got no window to shoot out. Those windows I got in the front, they don't raise up and down.
Oh, don't they?
One in that door is one of those fellas kicked out the night they broke in there. Been about, I mean, just before hunting season. They got double barrel 410 and double barrel 20 gauge.
Yeah.
That's all it bothers.
Oh, I'll be done.
$200 worth of cigarettes sitting there in the box, they didn't bother them. And that air rifle and an automatic rifle was sitting in the window up there. They didn't bother it. Got the two double barrel shotgun.
And they knew what they wanted.
They knew what they wanted. They got them. They just did get away, though. They liked they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
my boy Frank and Deputy Sheriff was coming towards 75, and he pulled in front of Frank, and Frank was going from his house up there. And about that time, they got the guns and got in their car and left. And Deputy Sheriff taken after him, and he run to Orange Lake, and he didn't know those roads in Orange Lake, and they did. So they got away from him.
Is that right?
He said he's running 100 miles an hour.
They heard him. You see, he heard them fellas down there.
Oh.
He heard them.
I heard them. But I thought they knocked a post down in front of the store and was fixing it back. You know, they knock them down every once in a while, fix them back and drive on.
Yeah. And
I've heard them too. And Bertie called her and told her. Wife said, "Are they gone?" He wouldn't go down them down there.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there lying there asleep. I just went on back to sleep. I didn't know there was anything about them breaking in.
Is that right?
I had a pump gun loaded with buckshot sitting right there by the bed. M1 carbine was 30 bullets in it, 2 pistols under my pillar, 2 .41 pistols. What good did it do me? Not a bit of the world, me lying out of sleep. Might have got killed if I'd gone down. But I didn't think so. I don't believe it'd shoot me.
Yeah.
It'd be trying to get away.
Yeah. Well, you know, they didn't want to get into trouble.
No, I guess not, but I'd have got them in trouble if I'd have gone down there. I'd have been in the grave one. So I'd have sure emptied the gun at them.
Lord have us. You had that shotgun loaded with buckshot?
Yeah. 30-inch barrel and hit pull choke.
Good Lord.
And shine was from a stairway to that door there to knock a hole in them and stick the proof jar through it.
How'd Bertie know about it?
They could see him. Must have sold a Coca-Cola bottle at him. They said they called us. Well, we could have done something about it. But the time we got the law down there, it was gone. They tried to break the toilet skin off the back door and off the side door. Still, they couldn't get in.
Yeah.
And they went to the front and kicked that glass out, crawled in.
Yeah. Gee whiz.
Well, the man across the street there saw them. And when they went in the cash register, they got about $20 worth of silver out of the cash register. And he saw them, but he said he thought it was me at first. I said, then they looked at the watch at 3:30 and said, "You knew darn well it wasn't me. It's 3:30 in the morning."
Who was that?
A fellow lived across the street from us up there in the Franklin house.
Yeah,
I know his name. I can think of sometimes I can think of him and sometimes I can't.
You have a telephone upstairs?
Yeah. I got one downstairs and an extension upstairs.
Yeah. If you'd known what it was, you could have called the police yourself.
Yeah. I wouldn't have waited on that policeman that long ago. I'd have gone down there and saw it myself. I think it's a good thing I didn't. Because I'm not a murderer, and I might have been if I'd have gone down there.
Yeah, you'd have cracked loose at him, wouldn't you?
You're darn right I would, wouldn't you?
Yes, I think I would. Yes, sir.
But you couldn't be polite to walk up there and be polite to a couple of fellas that busted in your house.
Well, heck no, they wouldn't be polite to me. Well, I've enjoyed the company, but I better get on back.
I'm about ready, Mr. Lever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Quarter after 12.
Why, Mr. Weaver?
I'll get around here where I can get my arms on something and I can get up.
I can help you up. That's right.
Do you need a little bite with us, right? No, thank you. Get back. I'm not used to eating about 12. 1 o'clock anyway.
Well, it's not long from that.
I'll catch the devil for keep there from eating dinner, though.
Oh, you will catch the devil.
I went over around 600 and then to visit Mr. Buckweaver this Saturday at around noon, the 4th of March, 72. John went over around 600 and then to visit Mr. Buckweaver this Saturday around noon, the 4th of March, 72.
But you got your cases. Now you got to see, put out the little things, little glimpses of what goes on out there
mm-hmm.
at that place, at that writing place.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Nick did the unbelievable. Nick Aschbach. He's a scholar, but he's a lazy one. He won't go to his typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
He'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
And,
so you didn't want to type it up?
I got the
later.
Water on.
That's hard work, though, to type all that stuff up later.
Well, it's a pleasure.
It's work.
Not for me. It's not for them. They, it's no trouble for them, you see. It's a pleasure. Look at it. See, you look at it as you're typing. Mm. And, he wrote up, you see, he had I've got it in here. I'll give you a copy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I have a copy or not. I'll
oh.
get a copy. And he wrote back some of it. Don't you know that fall when Barbara was down here?
Yeah.
And he picked up that idea about the horses in the countryside
mm-hmm.
and Cookie knew all about horses, but he doesn't practice any of it.
But he knows
it's, it. It's in my little piece.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Yeah, I know that
well,
one line
it.
About he knows everything, but
yeah.
yet he's not really riding them. He's not really out.
Well,
no. He's at the auction, so that's practicing his knowledge.
Yes, and he talks horses, and the horses in his talk are horses and
yeah.
not pets.
Yeah.
So you see what it does, this little thing here will prime your thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not a horseman, but Nick did that, and he went back up to, you read it. He went back up to Swanee, and Jimmy is the one that got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
And they were. He was out with Jimmy all fall.
Hmm.
And he came down here Thanksgiving to report, and he couldn't wait till he got in here to talk. He talked a couple of hours about those things.
Everything he's done.
Everything they've done. And you see, they'd see the most extraordinary things. They'd see this fella who'd talk about horses, and trading horses, and he had a place there, nice, up on a hill.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had his stable. Right down there on the side of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept the horse in it, and the horse didn't have room to turn around, and it was squishy.
Yeah.
And he didn't even feed the horse. Well, it wasn't all that bad, you know. But you found what he did was take that inquiry as to how the countryside handle animals. It's rich.
It went on, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Well, this barber now, she's working up in North Carolina or South Carolina? Somewhere up in there.
Yeah, it's not far.
And she's the one that went over to England, worked near,
yeah.
Not far from Stratford, was it? Somewhere along in the middle, center.
Yes,
she helped take care of horses and clean out the stables and everything for this guy. We listened to a wonderful tape about her experiences with this guy. He was an aristocrat, really, and he wasn't good about paying his bills, as I recall, but then it wasn't that he was particularly bad about them. It just never really crossed his mind, I don't think, one way or another. And she tells about this character who owned the place that she worked on.
Mm-hmm. She got all close to everybody. Now, the head of it, Mr. Tilk, you see, he's an old horseman from way back. He was the genius of the place.
And then England.
Yes, yeah. And his daughter's the one that ran it. They did the work. He was a little past his
prime.
Oh, she did.
We enjoyed them. I guess we need some instant coffee and all of that.
There it is.
Oh, this is it right here. Okay. Well, you know, we got up to Chattanooga, and first thing, we were going to go shopping. Lori, you want some coffee, don't you?
Yeah.
Lori says, let's go out and find a nice English bridle. And actually, their prices weren't bad, but they didn't happen to have the one she wanted right there. So then she says, well, who's got horse stables around that we can go visit? And they said Bob Hanshaw, I think it's Henshaw. So, well, she got those directions, you know, and just wouldn't let us be until we tried to find out how you'd get to this place. So it was close. It was actually Georgia, the address, but it was right on the border, just like Chattanooga is just on the other side. So we went out, and he did have some beautiful things. He has these saddlebreds. 7,500.
Is that
a
mockingbird? Huh? Is it a mockingbird on that
foot? Yeah.
I'm going to
have to scoot back
to see him good. Well,
he's a... Is that
a...
Oh,
that's
nice.
Tell
you to feed it right there.
That's a
great
big one,
though.
That's a mocking
one. That's a state bird, huh? Good lord. And they came...
He's moving,
isn't he? Gary, I used to go out. I'd go, meow. Pretty soon. Meow. You hear him mocking me.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Give them a sound that they can mock, and they're really...
Oh, really?
They're really mocking. And we had a one-legged one that came for three seasons.
Sure.
For three seasons, and then quit coming. I don't know whatever happened to them. So, Guy, we went out and got to the stable. Well, their horses were like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, and $8,000. So they were really something. They had the place full of, you know, ribbons and carts. I think he called it fine harness. They show these saddlebreds fine harness, and they go the show circuit from March till November, 1st November. So, of course, she had found the breed that she really was crazy about.
Warm enough?
Yeah, I'll let her cool off a little bit.
So I says, what have they got that we can afford? What do you got we can afford? Well, they had this one filly that he said you might be able to bring her out later, but she's not getting any milk from the mare, and so she's really very underdeveloped. 4 months, looks 4 months younger than she is. So Ward said to her, well, we'll think it over. We got home, and he said, if you want to sell Preborn and get this other one, okay. Well, now, so she said she would do it. Now she told me that they're supposed to bring it down 2 weeks. She says, I don't think I can bear to sell him. She says, he's mine. Nobody else can handle that horse. He throws everybody else. She said, he is my horse. She said, I could tell that this little filly is gentle and pleasant, and anybody will be able to work with her. So see, what she really wants is a devil of a horse. It's just her horse. That's the thing. And we really found that out now. So here we've got this filly coming, and I just know that what she's going to find out is what she already knows, is that sure enough, this is a nice, gentle, little, sweet thing. Not mean like the one she's got, and cussed, and spirited, and it's not those things.
And kind of horse for children.
Yeah, it'd be a good
maybe
one.
Maybe that's
that.
Kind of maybe we don't have a horse like that. You see, since Hubie died.
Yeah, it'll be. I'm pretty sure. They told me. They said it might pick up a little after it's wormed and all, but it looks like it's going to be the most gentle thing in the world.
Yeah.
Just easygoing nature. And now he said that's not always true of saddlebreds. Sometimes they tend to be nervous.
Now you see, there's Sapsucker. You don't see him very often.
I am.
Oh, he's gone now. He'll come back.
There he is. He's back. I haven't seen one of those in ages.
He's a Sapsucker.
Are you feeding bread out there or what?
That's suet. That's kidney suet. It's a crummy suet.
Where do you go to get your suet,
huh? At Bill's.
Huh?
At Bill's.
Is it grocery store?
That's meat market out here in Magnetite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We used to get our meat out there. We haven't done that for ages. Should do it, too. That's good meat.
Yeah. It's not even nice to buy from, too.
Well, if we had a freezer and just came once a month, it'd be. But we have to go once a week, you know.
Well, you come out here.
Yeah.
Come and stop here on the way. Ride a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't think you all are very good planners.
No. That's for sure.
You can't get three things on the same trip.
That's for sure. It never occurred to me that I could tie those together.
Fanny is the world's best. Fanny, Faye's sister. She's just done it so long, you see, and she raised a big family, and then she takes the neighbors everywhere and all like that, see. And it'd kill me. I could do that a day or two. I wouldn't mind it. But hell, she can get up doing it and go to bed doing it.
Get everything organized.
Yeah.
Working together.
Yeah.
It's not my forte. I know that.
No. You tell Laurie if he's too gentle. We need something gentle out here. You see, Hubert H., you remember how he was?
Oh, yeah.
You, if you never saw a horse, you could ride Hubert H.
Oh,
Hubert H. Humphrey.
That's right. You've never been on one in your life.
He was old and bony. He was 35 years old.
Yeah.
Didn't have a tooth in his head.
He was a doll, and they could put 2-year-olds on him. You just take him a nice little ride and bring him back.
Really?
He was unbelievable, that horse.
And if adults were on him, he's spirited.
He'd perk up, yeah. He knew what kind of rider he had. He was the sweetest guy.
Oh, he was.
He was all sweetness.
Now, you talk about a horse. When he came out here, he was blank. He didn't see anything. And you know, by the time he was out here a year or so, he ruled the roost. He made these mares behave. Missy wouldn't go in her stall if he was there.
It's true. You can really bring out a personality in him. Do you know that horse that Laura got has never communicated with us? Even when he'd get tied in a rope and throw him completely down, he wouldn't make a sound. He wouldn't whinny. He wouldn't make any call for help. It's as if he never expects any human beings to help him. And lately, just not too long, he'll whinny when we go out in the morning if he wants to feed. And Guy, we haven't had any other signs that there's any communication between him and people. He's been something, but for months and months we didn't get anything from him. But now I can walk into his pen anytime. And you remember when you were out there, it took me a while, but now I can go straight up to him. But it takes a long time to bring their personalities out and let them be something. I don't know.
That's queer, and it's strange, isn't it? I never realized that.
They change.
What does Ward know how to do?
You mean with animals?
With anything.
Nothing but teach English. That's the only thing I think. No, he's a good fisherman.
Carmina?
He can if he's pressed, but he wants me to do everything that has to be.
He doesn't seem to like work with his hands much.
He doesn't really like it.
Plumbing?
He can do it. He's done plumbing. He put in, but he'd rather now. His philosophy is make enough money so I can have somebody do that stuff.
He just don't like plumbing.
Just doesn't seem
but
like
he has done something.
He's done, yeah. He's put in a sink.
I see, that's
a
old fella. Saps out again.
Yeah,
okay. He's been there, no telling how many times. Once there was two Ms. Sapsuckers there. One is on top, one is on the bottom.
Just the male one. This guy with the nice yellow.
No, it looks like the female. The male got a little bit more red on his top.
That's a joy because I haven't seen one of those in ages.
No, I haven't either. First ones I've seen.
Mr. Miles, do you know of any above the water table caves around here that have air in them?
Mm-mm.
No?
I don't know a thing about caves.
Yeah.
I don't even like to think about them.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Most people don't. You know?
But they're locked around, I know.
Yeah. You wouldn't know where they're
at.
Oh,
Lord, no. I wouldn't want to know.
See, I spent a summer working with a geologist down in Mammoth Cave National Park, and I'm sort of interested in
oh really
any that you might have down here, and so many landowners are so scared that an amateur will get in there and get himself killed.
They won't give
out any information, but most of them are beneath the water table around here, I guess. But I've heard that there's a few up by the Devil's Millhopper, I guess. The way I understand.
They have 80 guys have drowned in 10 years down here.
No, that's an underwater case. I wouldn't go in one of those, I don't think.
I'm scared of giving them information about him. He loves caves, and he even got trapped in one, and still.
Yeah, that was my own mistake.
Yeah, well, that doesn't matter. He's still.
Well, it taught me a lesson, I'll tell you.
I said no less dead.
You need help on your plumbing? Is something wrong? Is it out here?
No, I was pursuing this thing that came up yesterday, the day before. I've been working with a freshman, and you see, I try to get him, you see, to live in the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, the university makes them so abstract.
I know it.
And cripples them, really. And, but they don't know it. I mean, the university doesn't know it. And, I got to thinking about some of the staff meetings. See, the staff meetings now are nothing like I ever attended before. They're high powered, you see. They're bitches. You know, so I didn't know.
And long, aren't they?
So I thought I'd live to go to anything like that. And, well, they're all gifted people, you see, so they're bound to be interesting. But they're diabolical. They are taking these young people, you see, and making them focus on their studies. They ought to get young people down here and tell them, okay, now you've been buried up there all these years, you see. Go out of here and see some caves and
mm-hmm.
talk to the people who got cattle.
Do something.
Look at these things flying up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they need to do. And,
yeah, right.
and open up their senses, their
mm-hmm.
faculties, you know, and then breeze. And it's a tremendous pressure. Tremendous pressure. And you see, that thing will go all up and down. It won't stop, you see, with a graduate level. It'll go to the new ones, and then it'll go over to University College and go on down and on down and down, and finally get to me, make me uncomfortable.
I have a feeling, though, in the old days, like in Europe and so on, that the guys who went on in academics were the kind of guys who were really in another world, and they weren't terribly interested in the trades. They were just interested in academics, but now academics just covers, I mean, anybody can get in school and graduate, and so if they're still under this old system, But it's time that they expanded, like you say, so you could expand all your other senses rather than just your intellect.
Yes.
But
yes.
they don't make any allowance for any of that.
No.
It's all book learning.
I don't know. It's all a misinterpretation. They don't have to do that. They got on the legal side of it this last time, and you know, when they get in the president, I looked at that, and you see the president. Oh well, it's a long story, but it's amazing how these learned people are helpless to me.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to seems like they've learned to sit on committees, and that's about all I can see. I don't know what you and
that's the outlook my father had. He was a farmer all his life.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Anybody that for Ward, he was gifted in his area, but that's my father looked at it like that's all he could do.
Yeah,
know.
Right. Yeah.
Well, do you know anything about that, Sam?
Well,
I know
he's raised on
somewhat, you know. I mean, I can go out and plow or
you know
disc,
more than I know, I bet you.
But and I doubt it because my father didn't allow me to do that much on it. But still, I picked up a lot more than average city kid has, you know. It's gone around.
He'd got to the point where his children didn't have to work.
Pardon? Yeah, that's pretty well the kind of environment I grew up in.
Well,
that's a bad way to do
I've
it.
I've seen some of those rich farmers down here. And I remember leaning against the gate down there one time. They looked out at that swamp and they says, "What good's that?" I says, "That's just an old swamp." The lady says, "Let's go. We've seen enough of this."
Yeah, well, that was special to you. He, for instance, he didn't want to keep horses because you don't make anything from horses. He wanted to keep the things that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd like that.
He'd go out in the yard every day after work and lay down in the yard and just look up at the sky and watch the birds fly.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the use of the land. He's talking about this being a farm.
He had that grove down there, and his father wanted him to plow it up, plant corn down there. That's 40 acres. 40 acres of land.
He just wanted to leave it as a grove.
Oh, really?
A pasture for cows.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he didn't have cows, did he, Gary?
Yeah, we had cattle down there, but that could have been a lot more money
from the corn
by plowing it up.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that.
Well, of course, I only hear it from my mother's point of view. You know, she swore that all he was interested in was making a dollar, that he never liked horses because they never brought him any returns.
The reason he did that, his own father tried to plow it up one time, and they got too close to the creek bank and started to erode it. So he left a gap about 200 or 300 yards from that creek bank of land, for about half a mile long, and it turned out to be 40 acres, 36 anyway. And I don't think you can say he was just
out to make money.
Out to make money off the land because he was a conservationist too.
Mm-hmm.
In that sense, because he had. He had grass.
He was certainly a conservationist
going.
In putting as much back into his land as he took out.
What does he do now?
Well, he's kind of lost right now, right? Yeah.
Well, why don't he come out here and help me a little bit? I need some here. I'm just looking at that muscle you got.
He's got a lot of muscle.
Yeah.
What do you do out here, Mr. Miles?
What I do?
Yeah.
Well, you see, I can't plow now. I had that prostate operation, and when I get on the tractor, it irritates it, and I
yeah.
smell and whack. And that was my chief occupation out here, plowing and
mm-hmm.
all those things. You see, I'd do that just for recreation.
Yeah.
It was a picnic, you know. I'd pay to do that.
Yeah.
And that makes me win.
Well, if I was... When are you going to be plowing out here?
Any time.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be leaving at the end of the month. It's the only thing.
Yeah.
I might be interested. Now, what I've done in plowing has mostly been confined to like the hired man and ride along with me, make sure I didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
But I have done it, you know.
Well, all I do is make mistakes, so
I might be interested in that. How much would it? I'd have to be doing it at night after I worked my construction job. Would be the only.
Oh, you're working at construction.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm working now. I'm not.
Oh, you are.
Running around.
Well,
you got lights on
I
your tractor or anything? Or?
Well, you don't do it at night.
Well, you don't do it at night. See, we used to do it. We'd plow all night until it was too damp. The soil was too damp. So
yeah.
If I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to.
What time do you get off? 4 o'clock every day, Jim?
Yeah. I'm pretty tired.
But you don't plow if it's raining, like.
No, it don't matter much down here.
Really?
It's pretty damp around here all the time, I imagine. It's
not
really
damp enough.
Well, Saturday
really
would be the
really
only day when you don't, when you're not working or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a job. He don't fool around.
Gosh, we should have got hold of him earlier.
Yeah.
What do you plant corn down here or what?
I don't raise any crops. I just trying to make the grass
soil
grow
over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh huh. And this behead grass has to be turned every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
Just plain turning vegetable.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think
I
something
didn't
else
know that. How many months in before it come back up?
It comes right back.
But that's good for it to turn it. Now, why?
I guess that wouldn't work, because I'm going to go to Daytona, for instance, next weekend. The only
mm-hmm
time I could be doing it would be on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I came, you know, like 2 weeks from now, and by then, I don't know, you might have all your plowing done or something. I'm thinking about maybe just working for a farmer for a whole year when I go back to Illinois,
mm-hmm,
and just learn all I can about farming, and then eventually, just take over the farm myself after I've learned enough about it. But I'm not going to just jump into it, because you have to invest up there about $20,000 to $30,000 worth in equipment, and it's just not worth the risk, I don't think, in my case.
No, that. Yeah.
Unless you know exactly what you're going to do, you know.
Are you supposed to stay off the tractor now for some time?
I'm not supposed to. I have to. I don't have any choice.
Really? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'll rig up something I can stand on it. The only trouble is my steering is busted and sort of stiff. I can't turn it easy unless I'm sitting down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What kind of tractor you got out there?
What kind of tractor?
Yeah.
I just got a couple of broken down ones.
Well, we got that. I saw loose that Ford out there.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
But I got to run a little better than that, a little faster.
Yeah.
It's an old Alex Cummins.
Mm. Yeah, I've run. I grew up with a Ford. I was driving one when I was about 5 years old, I remember.
Yeah.
Pick up bales of hay with it.
Yeah.
It's a nice atmosphere you got out here. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, you would, being from the same place.
I remember walking down that lane. It just reminded me exactly of walking around on down the grove, you know, because I could hear all the same sounds and birds.
Now, your lanes up there, did they have grass in them?
Yeah, yeah.
No ruts?
Well, when we had animals, see, we'd use the lane for that naturally, and we'd have to, our tractors would tear up the lane pretty much. So the only time you'd have grass in it would be in the spring and clover. And then in the spring mud in the fall, your tractors would tear down. We'd dump cobs there after we'd shell corn every summer.
Yeah.
And try to keep it pretty well. But in some of the old cow lanes that didn't lead to any fields or anything, yeah, we'd just be just like that one there.
Well, see, this is the only lane in Lexington County where there's no ruts and the grass grows.
Really?
And the way you do it is fertilize the grass and then don't go in your tracks.
Yeah.
And I don't know where I got onto that, but.
You don't go in your tracks.
Yeah, no.
You just drive in a different spot every time.
You ride in a different spot every
time. Of course, even so, if there's much travel, it'll kill the grass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the grass will take just so much travel.
Yeah.
Gary's sort of trying to, he's thought of about a million things. He's exhausted both of us. He's gone through about, I don't know, he's thought about going to Alaska, he's learning how to farm, I don't know, go back to school. Going back to school
Forest
doesn't
Ranger.
Really catch his imagination too much.
It's kind of a, more of the same, you know.
He's kind of tired of that. He's gone 4 years of college.
Well, let me tell you, Gary, if you're trying to make a living all on your own, I think these days it's too hard. You can do it, but it's too hard on you.
Yeah.
I think the best thing is to hire out, and as the saying is down here, make your grits.
Yeah.
And then on the side, do your farming.
That could be. What I could do is I was thinking about teaching high school in my area, and then just farming. Maybe I could just grow grain, you know, instead of livestock.
Yeah. Oh yes, that livestock is.
It takes up a lot of time.
Yeah.
Risky too. Sometimes.
Yeah. At 12 months.
I'd like to be able to take off at least 1 month a year, I think. So my father, he had to pay off the mortgage on the farm, and he worked, you know, probably 12, 14 hours a day for probably 40 years.
Yeah.
And before he got it paid off.
Yeah.
And he never really got to travel or do anything with himself.
Oh, Zachy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, what's he doing?
Well, you know, he won't go for me either.
He's feeling better now.
Crying tears down through the dirt.
Yeah.
It make me cuss, you see.
I said to his dad yesterday, you're going to be sorry now because, you know, these boys are still want to go with you. Maybe
mm-hmm.
Longfellow don't want to go with you.
That's right.
And you're going to say, why didn't I take them fishing when, why won't they go with me now? I say, well, you remember when they were 11 and 12?
Well, I couldn't figure out why he was so obnoxious down there. We got down there, and I know how much trouble it is to load up a boat and put it down, so I just wouldn't do it, you know, just load your boat up. And, because it's too much trouble for you and for me. And
there's no boat?
It's all right.
Oh, you can just pull it down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this
you
is what I thought, anyway.
You can pull it on the ground?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, but I forgot I had that little trailer, you see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can
well,
stick it in the back end of your jigger.
Oh, yeah.
Well, anyway, it was my own fault then, but I thought it'd be so much trouble, and
it's just a little old.
We got down there, and I said, let's just wade in, take off our shoes and our socks, and just wade in, and we cast. You know, it's only going to be about a foot
well,
deep.
Well, Ward first spoiled it, and then I should have gotten...
And,
he's got a birthday tonight, and I had to go out and get a
it.
Present for Nat. And that kind of really cut up our day. We didn't get started early enough.
Yeah.
But we got him a tent. I believe he'll enjoy it.
Well, we got him a tent?
For his present, yeah.
Oh, really?
A tent, two-man tent.
Yeah. Oh, really?
At 12-year-old, don't you think he'd enjoy that?
Oh, Lord, yeah.
That's a good gift.
Now, let me tell you, Phyllis, when they come out here, they can come out here and spend the night, you see.
Well, what I mean is bring them for a longer time and let them just eat their lunch.
They don't have to stay out. I think it's a little easier on them just stay in that old trailer there
mm-hmm.
and then just go out whenever they want to.
That'd be good. Just take them out. And
they got to handle a lot of equipment just to stay out all the time, don't they?
Yeah.
They got all that equipment.
Well, he's been wanting to use that fishing pole, and if I could promise him a certain day if it doesn't rain, like bring him next Saturday and then come back and get him at supper time. But he needs time. See, he's just a little boy.
He don't
want to
race around.
And an hour, bringing him out for an hour, that doesn't.
Well, you bring him out, I'll get him back in.
You better to come out about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning.
He's a good
fish.
Swimmer, so you don't have to worry about that.
Put a tag on him and just.
See, my folks used to take me out to the lake, and I'd go out there at 7 o'clock in the morning and fish till about 9 at night. So it's no fun just coming out for an hour and going in. You know, you got to get out there early in the morning to fish, catch anything.
Now, though all those people you know, all that time is on the campus, and all that salt.
I was talking to Mary Preston about this. I said, Mary, how do you like the people up here in Chattanooga? She says, you know, there's only one thing that I hate more than academic professors, And that's academic wise.
Really?
Who is this talking to?
I don't know, man.
She said, Phyllis, I wouldn't have wanted anybody else's wife to come along, but you're so non-academic. So we went around all the junk shops, you know, and went out and looked at horses and stuff. And
yeah.
She likes to do things. She likes to do. Oh, she's good at doing a lot with her kids, and I got them started on bunch.